Good morning and welcome into yet another in our ongoing series of political perspectives on WFSU-FM, also Comcast Channel 4, which is for FSU, and we are on Facebook Live as well. We are always inviting our listeners and our viewers, in this case, by delayed broadcast, to be part of the conversation. Our number is 850-414-1234 if you're listening live on the radio right now. If you have an old-fashioned landline and you've got a long-distance connection that requires a toll-free number to make that interface, we are at 800-926-8809. You can send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, or tweet us at WFSU Perspective. This episode being telecast tonight at 7 o'clock on 4FSU, which is Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties, and also live streaming, as we said, on our webpage at wfsu.org/live. And we also invite you to hang around online after the live radio program goes off the air. We'll continue the discussion for a while on Facebook, and our entire program, including the extended conversation, will be archived on wfsu.org/perspectives. Well, Leon County's District 3 Commission seat came open back in late March, as I recall. That's when longtime incumbent John Daly announced he would not be seeking another term on the county commission, but would instead be running for Tallahassee mayor. And we're going to be talking to him about that next week on Perspectives, along with the other candidates for mayor. Now, the folks facing off in the August primary election for County Commission District 3 are, and this is an order that we predetermined this morning by random drawing, we'll say hi first to Carlos Ray. Good to see you, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We are doing well, and thank you for coming in. Kyle Frost also joins us. Hi, Kyle.
Thanks for having me.
Emily Fritz is here, too.
Thank you.
And, of course, Rick Miner is another candidate for this job, too. Hi, Rick.
Good to see you, Tom. Good to be here.
Okay, Rex Rextis, who is another candidate, our fifth candidate for Leon County Commission District 3, was also invited. We talked to him back on Saturday. He promised to come. He may have gotten lost. He may come wandering in at some time during the proceedings, we hope so. But in the interim, he's not here, so I guess we can talk about him, right? I guess not. Well, let's go around the table, though, in that order here, and start with you, Carlos. Just a little bit of background here. You're going up, you're making your elevator pitch to someone saying, hey, I'm running for Leon County Commission. So who are you, number one, and number two? Why are you in this race?
Of course. Thank you for the time. Quick background myself is the reason I'm running is the principles I was raised on as far as hard work and education. Family came over here in 1966 from Cuba, seeking opportunity and freedom, things that were taken from and the government. And it was the hard work principles that had gotten me to this point where I am in my life. Came to Tallahassee as a law student in 2001, went back to Miami, came back to Tallahassee again in 2006, 2007. And I dedicated my time as a professional, as time as a citizen here in Tallahassee, to public service. I was Assistant Attorney General for 5 years, litigating Medicaid fraud here in Florida. And I went out to serve as Assistant General Counsel of Florida in a state agency where I work at public records, ethics, procurements, and sunshine law. As I said, I also dedicated my time as well as a citizen of the community to serve on county boards and city boards. I served on the Code Board of Enforcement Appeals, on a Code Board for 5 years, and currently serve on the Leon County Board of Adjustment Appeals as well. And I feel that seeking great responsibility gives you purpose in life, and I'm seeking this office to take on more responsibility for the community, to serve in a greater capacity, to bring the principles that I've learned through my profession of transparency and accountability to local government, to ensure that we are listening to each other as a community, to work as together to bring attention to the issues in our community as well. And I think the special in District 3, there's a lot of issues that I think have been not properly addressed. I think development in the Northwest is an issue that has not been properly addressed. Crime is an issue, especially when you go door to door. People do not feel safe in their homes any well. So I want to be a voice for the community, for the people that feel that they have been neglected in some sense, to once again let them know there's a voice for them, someone to actually fight for them, not to be another politician, but to actually be an advocate for their needs and an advocate for their concerns in this community.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ray. Appreciate that. Kyle Frost, you're up next. A little bit about you and why you're running, sir.
Well, I'm currently a student at TCC, planning to go on to Florida State next year. But I've worked full-time at Capital Health Plan since I was 19 in programming. I have a very big computer programming background. I taught myself how to use computers, how to program, how to write in different languages, starting back in 2008 when I would have been in eighth grade. It was sort of a calling to me. I thought I wanted to go into computer science. I started college going into computer science, but I just felt this higher calling to go into public service. I really like the aspects of everything of trying to help people and help the community that I've lived in for my entire life. Tallahassee's all I've ever known. I love the community. I love where it's going. I love a lot of the things that John Daly helped do as commissioner for our district. And I'd like to continue some of those things, as well as make sure that I just got married back in October, and I want to be able to start a family and raise a family here and, like Carlos said, feel safe in my home. Crime is an issue, and I think that starts at the home. And that is something that hasn't been addressed very well.
Well, congratulations on the marriage, Kyle.
Thank you.
That's very great. Emily Fritz, hi. It's good to see you again, but for the benefit of those folks who didn't meet you the first time about 6 years ago, let's go through it again. Huh?
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. My name's Emily Fritz. I have lived in Leon County 33 years, which is longer than any of the other candidates in this race. I retired in November of 2016 after 40 years in the workforce. Most of that was in the healthcare industry. 30 years of it was private sector, and 10 years of it was public sector. I'm running as a change agent. I'm running because we need someone who will buck the good old boys establishment that has been running our government in recent years. I have the ability to do it. I have the time to do it. And I have the guts to do it. I'm not going to make promises that can't be kept. And I'm not going to come up with a bunch of new programs with cutesy names to hold press conferences. But what I will address is the basic issues that have not been addressed properly over the last few years. Crime is obviously one of them. I will make sure that we properly fund the sheriff's office, but also hold him accountable. Now, we won't micromanage the sheriff's office, but we do need to hold him accountable for getting results. We also need to fix the problems at the dispatch agency. That's a big component of our public safety problem because the first responders are sent to calls with inadequate information, and sometimes they're sent to inappropriate calls. The staff at the Joint Dispatch Center, 40% of them have been there less than 2 years. There's a lot of turnover. The director announced his retirement last October, and we're not even close to filling the position. And there's not enough training. So that's a public safety issue that needs to be resolved. I also think we need to do a better job with managing our contracts. That's where the political insiders go to town with taxpayer dollars. There's not enough accountability when we award contracts. We need to implement performance measures. And if the vendor doesn't meet them, then we need to put in a corrective plan and terminate it if necessary. Also, all contracts need to be rebid. It's not unusual when a contract comes up for renewal that they don't rebid it. And that's often because the vendor has developed a cozy relationship and has convinced the staff and the commissioners that no one else can do the job. And the vendor may be the incumbent may be the best candidate, but competition is what's best. So I think we need to implement a lot of changes in our local government, and I plan to do it.
Very good. Thank you. And Rick Miner.
Hi, Tom. My name is Rick Miner. I currently serve as the CEO of the Big Ben's Food Bank. I have a staff of 27 employees. We work with 135 different partners. Those are churches, nonprofits, soup kitchens, schools, to provide. Last year, we provided 8 million pounds of food to people in need in Leon County and throughout the 10 surrounding counties. I think that's important because if elected to the county commission, I will have a perspective that I think we really need on the county commission. We hear from teachers that tell us that on a Monday morning, their kids will come into class, and many of them are hungry because they couldn't find enough healthy, nutritious food over the weekend. If I'm elected, I intend to keep that job because I think it keeps me grounded. I hear and I work with folks that are going through hard times in Leon County. And I think our county commission could benefit by having someone like me serve in the county commission and keep that job at the food bank. I've also got many years of experience working in public policy development. I've developed public policy for state, local, and federal governments along a whole host of issues: healthcare, education, public safety, the environment. So I've got a good breadth of experience on that type of policymaking. And then finally, I also spent about 9 years as an IT and business consultant. So worked for both private sector and public sector clients, not just in the U.S., but also overseas. I worked in Germany, Denmark, South Africa, Hong Kong, Maritime Canada. So I think of all the candidates in this race, I suspect I probably have the broadest experience, both in the business world, in government, and in nonprofits that I think we need to bring to the county commission. Why am I running? I've been very involved with the community for many years. I'm the former president and co-founder of Tallahassee Music Week. Also worked on Local Business Saturday, which is a marketing campaign that we had to help promote local businesses and help increase public awareness of the value of buying locally. I love this community. It's part of me. I have a daughter that's 4.5 years old, and I want her, as she grows up in Tallahassee, to have every opportunity for a prosperous career. I want her to have all of the job opportunities that we want for our kids. But I also want her to be able to enjoy the parks and the lakes and the trees that we all have as well. So when I look at the time on the county commission, if I get elected, I want to look at that through that lens. What are we going to be leaving our next generation, my daughter and others like her, so that they have a prosperous economy with which to have careers, as well as having the great natural resources that we enjoy.
850-414-1234 is our direct connection to our candidates for Leon County Commission District 3. We've got four of the five contenders here with us in the persona of Carlos Ray, Rick Miner, Emily Fritz, and Kyle Frost. And we have a Facebook question that has just come in for one of the candidates. We will address that when we return right here on Political Perspectives. On our Political Perspectives, four of the five candidates for Leon County Commission District 3. And we also invite you to hang around online after the live radio program goes off the air as we continue the chat on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook, here is a Facebook question for you, Emily Fritz. And that is, you mentioned that you would be bucking kind of the old boy network, and this individual, Stanley, wants to know specifically, what would you buck?
Well, there's a lot I mentioned this earlier when I referred to the contracting. There has been a habit, and I'm not saying this happens every time, but it's not unusual when a contract comes up for renewal, then instead of sending it out to bid, the system, the vendors have become real cozy and developed a very close relationship with the staff and commissioners, and they say, oh, well, let's not bother to bid it. They're doing such a good job. I will say, no, we need to rebid it every single time a contract comes up for renewal. And again, if the incumbent wins the bid, I have no problem with that. But it's those kind of things, just letting things slide. There's too much behind-the-scenes talk. There needs to be more stuff in public. The commission meetings are televised, and I've noticed that it's not unusual when a presentation is made that the commissioners all sit there and nod, et cetera, and sometimes that's appropriate, but I will ask questions, and I will ask the tough questions that other people won't ask.
Okay, great. Stanley, thanks for the question here. We have a question for all of the candidates here from Mitchell. also on Facebook, who says, hello, Leon County Commission candidates. Too many individuals are being incarcerated for nonviolent crimes in regards to possession of small amounts of marijuana. And as a county commissioner who believes crime to be an issue, should these individuals be the focus of law enforcement efforts, especially by the sheriff's department, since there is at least budgetary oversight of the sheriff's office by the county commission? Carlos Ray, let's start with you, sir.
Yes. I think this is an issue that's going to impact as far as not only incarceration of those petty crimes as well. It may impact them individuals' lives later on. So you better be very careful who is going to be impacted by these criminal procedures. So I think the focus as far as the law enforcement should be one of what's going to have the most impact on the community itself. Who will be most impacted by taking those actions? So if it's the focus on small crimes is taking attention from violent crimes or property crimes, or things that actually have more impact in the community, I will ask law enforcement if that's a proper use of resources. And then those individuals who are in those petty crimes, you know, what is the age of these individuals? Are we putting these people too young into a process that may impact them later on in life, may impede their ability to actually take opportunities that will be available to them in life as well? So as working with law enforcement, making sure that those resources that they're dedicating are properly being used for the benefit of the community as a whole, are we getting the good ROI in those resources, the bang for your buck, as far as should those resources be dedicated somewhere else and focus on other parts of the community? It may make it easy to make quotas in some sense, but is it actually helping the community overall? So that's one of the things I like to sit down with law enforcement, seeing what is the approach, and then also the judicial system. What is the approach they're taking when they're dealing with young individuals or people who are just first time through the criminal justice system? Should we divert them out of the criminal justice system to another process that allows them the opportunity to recover, recuperate, and start anew in their life?
Okay, terrific. Kyle Frost, your thoughts there, sir.
Well, the war on drugs, marijuana was mentioned specifically, back when it was started, fundamentally attacks and targets minorities and lower income individuals. I think a path that we could try to follow is something like what Mayor Levine did down in Miami, where we just decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana. These mandatory minimums and things like that target these lower income minority communities, they're destroying the communities. They're destabilizing the home life, which, like I said earlier, is something that I believe is the root cause of what a lot of the crime is in Leon County and Tallahassee and really just the nation in general. So I don't think that law enforcement should be focusing on these very small nonviolent crimes when we have other crimes that need to be more focused on.
Okay. Emily Fritz.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with a lot of what both Carlos and Kyle have said. And, of course, this will be up to the sheriff. But I do not think extensive resources should be invested in something as insignificant as possession of a small amount of marijuana. I've known people who've possessed marijuana, who've ended up to be very professional people and led good lives. They just didn't get caught. So I don't think you should have a huge impact on someone's life when they do something minor like that, especially it is often done when the person is young and they haven't matured yet to have exercised good judgment. So, again, it's up to the sheriff, but I won't make an issue of pursuing it.
Okay. Rick?
Yeah, I think I don't want to speak for anybody here, but if I could summarize, I think what we all agree on is that we probably need to devote more resources toward the violent crimes, toward the more serious crimes than the nonviolent ones, including possession of small amounts of marijuana. I think we probably all agree on that. An example of the kind of thing I think we all would like to see more of is the civil citation program. Barney Bishop and I don't necessarily agree on a whole host of policy ideas or positions, but I do agree with Barney on this. He has been advocating for the civil citation program for a number of years, and it's a great program. It's the idea that it gives power to law enforcement to make a decision right there and then before an arrest is made. If they find some type of incident where a teenager, a youngster is committing some type of crime, if it's the first violation, if that teenager has never been arrested before, the officer has the discretion to offer that child, that teenager, the option of going into the civil citation program. They have to agree right then and there to go into the program, and then they're able to go through this program, go through some training, go through some education on what the nature of the crime is, and take some steps to basically avoid a sentence, basically avoid a charge. Those are the types of things that I support. I think we need to – and it's much less expensive for us as a society to have a teenager sign up to that civil citation program than to have that child, that teenager arrested, tried, possibly incarcerated for a short amount of time. And then we have to deal with the effects of that teenager having that on his or her record for the rest of it, for a good part of their lives. I think that's the civil citation program is a great example of what I think we all agree on.
Okay. One situation that is connected to that is also, and the county commission does not have the full budgetary freight to carry on the court system. We know that a lot of that comes from state government, and so you're hamstrung by what comes out of the legislature.
Yeah.
But things like drug court and mental health court and these types of initiatives, is there a consensus for you folks, too, that that's a good direction in
yes.
which to move?
Yes,
for?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, terrific. We have agreement. One thing you may not have an agreement on, however, is what do you do about economic development in District 3? Commissioner DeLoge doesn't seem to have that problem. There's a lot of good development going on over in his district out in the northeastern corridor. There is now a push being made for more economic development in District 1, which is SOMO and however we're calling some of these things there. You got a problem in District 3. The median income is down. Mr. Miner, you know probably better than anyone, you have a food desert situation there at the closing of that Winn-Dixie on High Road and Tharp Street, and it's just not developing the way that much of the rest of the country is. Starting with you, Carlos Ray, what do you do about it? What can the county commission do to help jumpstart economic development in that area?
I think I've been walking that area as well, and it's one of those situations that people always talk about affordable housing and places for a young professional to start out, the families. We have it already. It's a Northwest corridor. It's a Northwest sector of our district. Young people start there as a professionals. There's affordable housing there that they actually buy a home, afford a home, and actually start a family there. They save up and move elsewhere in Leon County. But we should be focusing, okay, how can this place be more of an attraction to families? And he said food desert. I spoke to one person. They're happy. They only have to drive a few miles to get to the Publix. There's a situation there that the food desert has to be addressed there. We had to focus more on the development. Thankfully, I think the center is a part, almost developing in a sense that you may have some new tenants there from the state. So that will help at least develop that part and bring more attention to the northern part of North Monroe. But once you pass I-10, I think it's one of the things of sidewalks, making the place more attractive to families. Take advantage of Lake Jackson. Make it more an amenity that people can actually partake and use. If the parking lot could be increased. You can actually have sidewalks going to that area, bike lanes in that area to actually see the place that you can live and work in Leon County. And a lot of – we have to move away from the service industry. That section of the Northwest is driven by service. We can focus on bringing back some manufacturing jobs that used to be here that we've gone to Midway, bring them back to Leon County. And these are service jobs. We can move from service jobs to manufacturing, better paying jobs, more security for the individuals living in that area. So it's one of the things we have. There is a great resource there as far as it's a great place to raise a family in a sense that it's affordable to buy a home there. The parks have gotten a little better. Not there yet. We can improve the parks have gotten a situation. More neighborhood parks can be developed there as well. So it's one of the things that we had to focus on that. Like you said, NOMO, some people reference it to NOMO, unfortunately. No movement, no motion, nothing going on up there. SOMO has gotten the attention. The Loja seats got attention. We had to focus on this section, which is the starting places, the starting of families and professionals. Come here. They can afford to live there. We should market that area for those individuals who want to start here in Tallahassee.
Very good, sir. Cal Frost, what do you think?
Well, the county recently made an agreement with the city to sunset the downtown CRA. And with that, I think that we can do something that Commissioner Daley tried to do years ago, which is introduce a North Monroe CRA. We can continue to expand and solidify and really help the greater Frenchtown CRA and the South City CRA, But I think North Monroe would benefit greatly from one now that the downtown one has sort of reached its potential and finished. And like Carlos said, sidewalks. I drive a road every day, Gearhart, which is right across from the entrance of my neighborhood. There's not a sidewalk. There's an apartment complex there, and there's many houses there. People walk to the bus stop at the corner of Mission and Gearhart, and it's times in 7:30 in the morning. It's dark. It's not safe. We need lighting. We need sidewalks. And I think that, along with potentially a CRA up there, would help things sort of get a kick in the back and get going.
Okay. Emily Fritz.
Thank you. I differ from Kyle a little bit in that I do not think the CRA is the best way to improve economic development, mainly because of the structure of how the CRA works. And there's nothing that a CRA does that can't be done by another mechanism. I do agree that there needs to be better infrastructure in the northwest part of the county. In fact, I've had some people who live there tell me that they feel like the redheaded stepchild. There's some drainage problems in that area, which also, to raise another topic, that has caused mosquitoes and things of that. Not that mosquitoes are the biggest issue at all going on, but if you live up there, that's pretty important to you. We need to improve that area. Again, the drainage would help. I do agree that infrastructure. And actually, I think it's a very beautiful place. There are beautiful trees. I think the county could market that as a great place to live because it's beautiful up there. So I think it has a lot of opportunity, and as a commissioner, I want to bring it home to them.
Okay, Rick.
Thanks, Tom. You know, with my job at the food bank, I hear a lot about what happens in some of these in our community. When the two Winn-Dixies closed, both of those Winn-Dixies affect District 3. The one up on North Monroe and the one on West Tharp. Now, the southern border of District 3 is right along Tharp. So both those Winn-Dixies closed. We had a big mobile pantry to serve the folks that live along Tharp because of that Winn-Dixie closing. So I see a lot of that. There's a lot of work we need to do in District 3. A lot of exciting things are happening in the other districts, which is great. But We need to create what we call a sense of place in District 3. You know, now that the Winn-Dixie's closed on North Monroe, how many people are going to go to the Salty Dog up there? You know, they got great fried mushrooms, but is that going to be enough to really draw people there now that the Winn-Dixie's gone? We need to create what we have in Midtown, what we have developing in some of the other parts of Tallahassee, and have a sense of place like that in District 3, that people who live there, who don't want to drive 2 miles to go to a Publix, can go around the street and go ahead and go to a destination where they can do grocery shopping, go to a restaurant, and do other things too.
Let's revert to something we talked about out in the lobby before we got this whole thing underway, and that is timing is everything, and there is a Leon County Commission meeting that is taking place this afternoon. So we're going to do a little bit of projection here, and let's pretend as we go around the table that you have actually won, and you are sitting on that very commission meeting this afternoon and dealing with some of the issues that the incumbents are. And one of the issues is going to be, guess what? A CRA, but this is not a community redevelopment agency question of the downtown versus the Frenchtown Southside CRA. This is actually some leftover money from the Performing Arts Center that is now up for grabs. And the CRA recommended that, I think, what, $1 million would go to the Lemoyne, and a little bit over $1 million, one point something, would go to a new performing arts facility, which would be down around over the under. That is down around, let's see, coming off of Cascades Park. It was an old warehouse that would now be converted to that. So you got that. You have the Children's Services Council, a number of things. So let's start with you, Carlos. Let's see how would you vote on that kind of issue put together today?
So we're just focusing on the CRA and
let's
the arts.
Do CRA and the Children's Council.
Children's Council together?
Yeah. Okay, let's do those two.
I'll start with Children's Council first and go from there. Children's Council, I know they're going to push us towards a ballot for 2020 at this point. The question I'll have as a commissioner when the time comes and I'm on the board is, first of all, identify the actual needs that are going to be addressed by this council. What are the actual needs of the community? And when I look at needs, I'm going to apply a matrix of the scale-up problem we're going to solve is a problem solvable as it being neglected. So those advocating for the council are asking, okay, what is exactly the problem we're going to solve? And let's focus exactly, let's narrow down this focus of the problem we're trying to solve, the scale of it, and see if it's solvable. And then I'll ask, what are the resources available already to address this problem? Because the question is one of, I'm going to ask them to use evidence-based programming. When you're going to spend money, I want you to tell me what are going to be a potential results of this program. So when the time comes a year or 2 years later, we can revisit and say, where are we now in this program? Have we succeeded in reaching our goals? If not, let's revisit it and see how we can improve it. Another thing I'll consider is, and this is up to those who advocate for the council, and you're basically saying to the community, this is so important, it has to be done. We have to be able to raise millage rates to pay for these programs. People are concerned about the fact there's no accountability in a sense that no one's voted for on these boards, only the people are appointed who are elected but are not voted for that purpose. I'll put it to them saying, you know what, the first 2 years, you'll get your millage rates automatically. After that, people may have an option to opt out. And it's up to you to show them the benefits of this program. Show them that this is something that is worth paying for. So people actually have a buy-in. People can feel proud of these programs, no longer feeling, oh, just taking my money and just doing whatever I want, just giving out to the people they like. But you're coming to me every year and saying to me, this is what we accomplished with the money you were able to give us. And then it's your choice to give us again to continue these programs. I think they'll have more buy-in from the people right now who have concerns that at least there's some accountability in the process and the Children's Council, and at least also transparency where the money is being spent.
Okay, before we get into the CRA situation here, we do have to take a quick time out, and then we'll come back and continue that with you, Carlos, and do the workaround on the rest of the candidates, too. We have four of the five commission candidates here for District 3 in Leon County, and you are invited to talk to them and to ask questions and voice your concerns at 850-414-1234. You can also send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, or you can pose your question on Facebook Live. We'll be right back in a moment. We are back on Perspectives, Political Perspectives, with four of the five contenders for Leon County Commission District 3. And we are going to be continuing this conversation on Facebook Live right after the live radio program goes off the air. And also, if you're listening on radio, you can see it tonight, 7 o'clock, on Comcast Channel 4, which is for FSU. And Carlos Ray, you were about to jump into now the
Performing Arts Center,
that infamous CRA designation here. So how do you think that should play
out? So when you say Performing Arts Center, I was only reminded of the quote from Milton Friedman who said, Performing Arts Center is a tax on the working class for the benefit of the rich. It's the question, who is going to benefit from this Performing Arts Center? I will ask, okay, what kind of program is it going to offer? Is it going to be a program that's going to benefit the community in that where it's located? Is it going to be benefiting the children who have, you know, options other than going home to an empty house? Are they going to have programming for those kids? That's what I want to ask as far as what are the benefits of this program? Who will benefit from the actual Performing Arts Center? Or is it simply be something that only those who have the time available and those time to benefit from the center, are they the only ones who actually benefit from it, or is it going to be a program dedicated to be more inclusive of the community it's found in? So the other question I'm going to ask this commissioner, these proceeds that are supposed to help develop and strengthen the community, are they going to be used properly? If we do it to the center, I'm going to ask for the programming, what are you actually doing with this money other than refurbish a building? What are your visions for this center itself?
Okay, so you want definitely some more information here before you cast your ballot. Kyle, what do you think on both those issues there?
What was the first one again?
First one is for the Children's Council.
Right.
And then the leftover Performing Arts Center money, and it's essentially kind of a competition right now between the Lemoyne Foundation and the proposed Performing Arts Center in the old warehouse down by the CSX tracks off of Cascades Park, headed towards, what was that? Nita Favors Thompson Park. I think it's right next to there.
Okay. Well, when it comes to the Children's Services Council, something that I've been stressing this entire time is that stability in the home will be the solution to a lot of the problems that we have. We don't have a lot of people with stable homes because they're either low income or they're living poor, as what a lot of people are called. The CSC, I think it could really benefit a lot of those families. The county does have programs that benefit children already, and I think that looking at if we pass the CSC, since it's on the 2020 ballot, looking at cutting the programs that the county does itself if they overlap with what the CSC wants to do, so that we can also bring down the taxes from the county's perspective and let the CSC handle those things specifically, because the county has a lot of things on its plate. If we can get the council, which can focus on these problems, people have been asking, where's the need for it? We've had studies done that Leon County has a need for something like this. So I definitely think that it hopefully will pass, and I think that it could benefit the county greatly. When it comes to the performing arts, like Carlos said, I'd want to know why, what they're going to do with it. Are they going to do programs, perhaps programs that could tie in with the CSC and have children's camps or something like that to help bring kids into programs, teach them fine arts? Like Rick said, have a sense of place. It's not just for District 3. It's all of Tallahassee and all of Leon County wants to have a sense of place in the state of Florida and in the nation. Being a capital county, that's very important to us. We shouldn't sit back and watch what other counties are doing. We need to set an example. And if they could prove and show that this isn't just going to be something that wealthy people are going to be able to take advantage of, and they're not just going to be refurbishing buildings, but building programs that can help and bring together the community, then I would be in favor of it.
Okay, Emily.
Okay, thank you. As far as the Children's Services Council, I do think the County Commission made the right decision by postponing the ballot initiative until 2020, because a lot more homework needs to be done. I read on the June 19th agenda when they had the public hearing, I did read the report that the county staff prepared. Now, I didn't read all the 1,000 pages of attachments, but I did read the meat of it, and it was all over the map. They addressed everything from breastfeeding to suicide. And then when speakers came to the county commission meeting, they were all over the map as well. So there needs to be more identifying of what the needs are. There has never been an assessment of what is being done, because from what I could tell, there is a program on almost every one of the issues that I read in the report. Now, how effective these programs are, I don't know. That's what we need to find out. In fact, I'm aware of multiple programs that address some of the issues. We need to figure out what is being done. We don't want to duplicate. There's so much duplication of services, and that's a problem. I also have some concerns about an unelected body having taxing authority, and then if they do not manage the money properly, that they cannot be voted out of office. I think the county should, the commission should be able to handle this. But they need to do an assessment of it first. And I think it's good that the county plans to do that. On top of the assessment that the county plans to do, I'm going to do my own assessment. I have a health and human services background and have worked with a lot of nonprofits. So, and I know the questions to ask, so I will dig into it. I'm a little nerdy in that sense, and I like to do that. So that's my answer to that question. As far as the performing arts, I do have concerns about that. And I agree with a lot of what Carlos and Kyle have said about who will be served. The other thing is sometimes you come up with these ideas, and the price tag creeps up and up and up, not just to build the building, but to operate it, to hire the people, to do the programs, and where is that money going to come from? I do have concerns, and I do need more information on that.
Okay. Finally, Rick.
Thanks, Tom. I'm going to speak quickly because I have a lot I want to say. With regard to the measurement of outcomes, the CHSP process right now, any program, any agency that gets funding through the CHSP process has to have metrics that are agreed upon by the county and city, and they have to file quarterly reports that show their progress on those outcomes. In addition, there on tonight's agenda, I believe, there's a $150,000 agenda item for a CHSP-related study for needs on children. Regarding the CSC, the Children's Services Council, I'm glad it's on the 2020 ballot. I hope that we go through a methodical process to take a look at what we need to do to get there, and I hope it does pass on 2020. Here's why. In my work on public policy, everything that I did, you don't just create policy out of thin air. You take a look at what other government, state, local, you know, organizations are doing, and you cherry pick where those successes are from. If you're a county commissioner or a public policy developer, you're not like a high school student taking a test. You don't get a grade of F for copying someone else's great idea. In the real world, in the county commission and when you develop policy, you basically find the great best practices, figure out where their pitfalls are, what failures did they make, and how do they correct those, and then see if those ideas can be applied to your county here. That's what I did when I was a public policy developer. That's what I want to do on the county commission. So at the food bank, you know, I had a staff member tell me that she had a single mother tell her that she drank water all day long to avoid the hunger pains so that she could afford to feed her kids later that evening. That is happening right here in Leon County. So there's a need. I see that anecdotally. I see that from the analysis and research and reports that we do at the food bank. And I also see that through CHSP and United Way's ALICE reports. So I believe in it. I think it's got to – I want it to work. And I want to make sure the leadership council that is selected by the county is doing everything it can to make sure that it presents information to the public so that they feel comfortable about supporting it in 2020. With regard to the CRA, a couple of people have mentioned whether the Performing Arts Center would just be for the rich and the wealthy. I've spoken over the years with folks like Paula Smith and Bob Enzer, who have been working tirelessly for years about trying to get a Performing Arts Center here. If they were here right now, they would tell you that this is far from some type of center just for the affluent. It's for all of us. It's a community-wide resource that it would be to help expose everyone to some of the great resources and culture that we have in this country and here locally. When I grew up, I was probably less than middle class. Some of the memorable things I have were going to see an orchestra for the first time, for Madame Butterfly for the first time. I mean, those are things that really enrich you as a young kid and inspire you to do other things in your career and in your education. So with regard to the actual vote, I'm leaning toward agreeing with what the county commission is going to be voting on. However, as a county commissioner, I want to look much further beyond just what is provided to us as a meeting agenda item in print. I want to talk to the stakeholders. I want to talk to the people that are for it. I want to talk to the people that are against it. I want to do that for the major items on every commission meeting. So while I'm leaning toward it, I think the allocation that's proposed probably makes sense. Before I would commit to that, though, I'd want to go through that process of talking to other people.
Okay, before we depart this, one yes or no question for everybody. Do you support giving Proof Brewing Company $450,000?
No.
No. Okay. Kyle?
No.
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 Emily?
No.
Okay. We have another consensus. That's amazing. Does everyone live in District 3, by the way? We have a question from Facebook there.
Yes. You couldn't qualify if you didn't.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Sometimes that becomes an issue here in Leon County, as I think you guys all know. We also had and I'm sorry we didn't get to the phone question there, but about homelessness, just anecdotally, I have not checked with the Homeless Coalition folks who take that snapshot, who follow the numbers here, but there seems to be more people panhandling in this community right now. We're seeing it in South Florida. It seems to be happening here. So what do we do about it, Carlos?
I'm looking into this. In Utah and Albuquerque actually had some interesting program. I think New York was the one proposed, but actually Utah, Housing First. They looked into the actual benefits of providing these individuals housing and then assigning a social worker to that individual. What they found was that the cost in the front end was $19,000 per individual per year. But they actually saved $200,000 in the long term every year because those individuals were getting the care they needed. They're becoming more productive in the community. There are certain individuals who are homeless who need more than just a house. They need a lot more mental care for issues as well. So we have to provide, look at all these, like Rick mentioned, look at the other states, what they've done. Utah has a very good program for dealing with homelessness, Albuquerque as well. Two very conservative states who are doing a very radical program itself that's proved to be positive. So I know Leon County was looking into this in 2015 about housing first to deal with the homelessness. I'd like to find out where they were, where they've come with this study, and see what impact they can have here locally.
Yeah, short term then, perhaps more money for the Kearney Center because they got a reduced allocation this last go around.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle.
I think the county could do a lot by looking at organizations like the Big Bend Homeless Coalition and possibly working closer with them. If we could do something like Carlos was saying and provide some sort of temporary housing, the Big Bend Homeless Coalition can get families in and out successfully in averaging under 6 months to have them in and stable and being able to move out and go on to their own lives. And doing something like that, having housing gives them an address. It lets them get a bank account. A lot of jobs require that you have a mailing address. And having the stable home life, like I just keep saying, is really the fundamental basis of what will solve a lot of these issues. And so working closely with something like the Big Bend Homeless Coalition, I think, would be beneficial.
Okay. Does that, though, get you into NIMBY? I mean, if you move homeless folks into neighborhoods where maybe you have some excess housing inventory, mm-hmm. or a lot of students who have been kind of sucked into College Town and now you have apartments that have a lot of vacancies, would you get pushback, do you think, from folks who say, oh my gosh, not next door to me, you don't?
Probably. It would have to be talked about amongst the community, researched, and finding out where these communities are that would be accepting of this.
Okay. Emily, what do you think?
Interesting. One of the issues with homelessness is that people are obviously at a very low point in their lives, and we need to agree with putting more effort in, I think, using social workers to help get them back on their feet, help them find opportunities. Sometimes they are just totally lost and don't know what to do. I think the more we can do to lead them, and I know it would not happen overnight. If someone's at the low point in their lives, they don't reverse in 6 months. But help try to lead them into a path of success. We may have to take baby steps to do it. And I'm not totally familiar with all of the housing options available. Obviously, we do not want them on the streets. But again, if we can get them more toward independence, I think that's the way to go.
Okay, great.
I served on the board of the shelter about 10 years ago, so I'm familiar with the issue of homelessness as well as my work at the food bank too. With the homeless population is really comprised of two different types of situations among the people there. One is the type where with some assistance, perhaps with some counseling on addiction, some help with job training, they can become self-sufficient. And there are, we need to help folks that are in that category work themselves into self-sufficiency, and we work and think about that all the time at the food bank. The other portion of folks who are homeless are folks that, frankly, it's hard for them to find self-sufficiency. With some developmental issues they might have had when they were a child, there are things, and I know this from working on the board of the shelter so many years ago. Those folks need to have a place to go. Not just at the shelter when they can have a good place to sleep overnight, but a day shelter too, where they've got something that is constructive, that gets them off the streets, if they don't want to be on the streets.
Yeah.
Those are the types of ways we need to take a look at this, because it's not just one monolithic group of people who are homeless. Each one of them has a different set of needs, and we need to be we've got a lot of agencies here in Tallahassee and Leon County that are sensitive to those needs and are able to help them.
And the changing face of homelessness as well, which in regards more families and that sort of situation, it is a much more diverse population.
Absolutely.
than just the down-and-out guy hanging around on the street.
Absolutely.
Corner.
Yep.
So a big job, ladies and gentlemen, here being a member of the Leon County Commission. And we are going to continue this conversation here on Facebook Live. And we also will be bringing you additional programs for the remainder of this week. We start with the Leon County School Board tomorrow and continue that into next week when we finally get into the Tallahassee City Commission. A lot of races coming up. And as voters, we got a big job too. folks, we have to evaluate the various qualifications, the backgrounds, the skill sets of a multitude of candidates. And then don't forget, we have all those constitutional amendments coming up, too. So, but that'll be in November. For right now, this is one of the races that will be facing us during the upcoming April 28th. Primary election. Carlos Ray, Kyle Frost, Emily Fritz, and Rick Miner, and to our friend who was not here, Rextus, thank you so much for being part of the discussion here on Perspectives, and we will be continuing on Facebook Live. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee, Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the radio side of the house, Houston Brandon, Suzanne Smith, Brandy Staney, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Summersill, Carly Sater, and Kadesha Eliason also on the crew for the video side of the house and for Facebook Live and WFSU.org. It's Tricia Moynihan. I'm Tom Flanagan. We'll be doing the Leon County School Board District 1 tomorrow right here on Political Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to our continued conversation for Leon County Commission District 3 here on WFSU. We are Facebook Living it right now, and we continue our go-around with the candidates for the job, Carlos Ray, Kyle Frost, Emily Fritz, and Rick Miner. And at some point, we want to get up with Rextus, who is the fifth contender for this job. All these folks will be facing off, of course, in the August 28th primary. And we thought we'd hang around for a couple more minutes, folks, to give you some additional opportunity to talk about what you think are the really super critical issues. We mentioned this at the outset of the program, and you each gave a little thumbnail as to your background and qualifications and how that would inform some of your decisions as a Leon County Commissioner. But this is kind of hot button stuff that you individually think, this is really where I would like to leave my mark if I get this job. So, Carlos Ray, let's start with you here. This is your blue sky where you're projecting out and saying, boy, when I get off the county commission, I want them to remember me this way.
Good. Three things I want to focus on is trust, safety, opportunity. When I leave the commission, I want people to say he brought faith back into the government, trust back into local government, that we no longer are concerned about the intentions of our leaders anymore, that he actually served with character and dignity and actually was willing to listen. As a county commissioner, my main job is to be able to pick up that phone when you have a need, to make sure that electricity's on, that water's running, that trash is picked up. So I want to be the person that they say, yeah, it's a shame he's leaving. I wish he wouldn't go because he did such a great job on that board. Safety is an issue. I want people no longer, as I'm raising my 7-year-old daughter, I want this to be a home for her. I left Miami because I saw the opportunity here to raise a family. I want the same opportunity to be for her when she gets older and she makes a determination where she's going to live and raise her family. I want this to be the place for her so she feels safe. And I have to work on that issue to people can look at Tallahassee as the safest place to raise a family, to retire as well. And opportunity, I talk to business owners saying this is not a great place to start business. There's too much cost, too much burden, too many issues to go through, too many hoops to jump through to start a business here. I don't want that to be an issue anymore for businesses and families. When you're making decisions in life, the two biggest risks you have in life are starting a business, starting a family. We should work everything we do to lower the burden and the cost of starting those endeavors in life here. So when I leave here, I want to say he did all he could with the time he had there, serving as a person of character, of trust, and he left this place safer, cleaner, and a more prosperous place than he started.
Everyone makes a fetish of saying, however, I will be no career politician. I will do my single term and then you know, I will go back to being a small business person or, you know, plowing the fields or whatever else. So how many terms do you think it's going to take you to pull off that vision?
Every day, I'm going to work on it every day I have a chance. So basically, safe trust is the first thing, the first day. When they get in there, they're going to know it right away. When I'm going to deal with the commission, I'm going to be transparent and I'll make sure accountability is the first thing. So if I only last, whatever forbid, 2 days, who knows what's going to happen? I want to make sure that they knew that was 2 days I was there. They trusted me and everything I did. So, and safety is working with law enforcement, making sure that they are part of the process to make sure that, you know, not only addressing crime, but mental illness as well, all those issues. So I'm going to work as tomorrow's going to be my last day in the office. I'm going to make sure that every time, if it's only lasts one term, that term is going to be one that I'm going to be nonstop. So it's up to the people to decide. If I continue to do such a good job and I'm willing to have the spirit and I'm still a good use, and if I become a politician, like you said, and I just stay there to hold an office and collect a check and no longer be a voice, I think it's time for me to go. It's time for me to say, get out of here.
Okay. Yeah, and the voters will certainly have something to say about that. That's for sure. Kyle Frost.
Well, some of the things that are going to be important to me is approachability, transparency, and just trust. I want to be approachable. If I get elected, I'm a public servant. I'm not just a politician. I'm not just an elected official. I'm a public servant. I want people to be able to call me, text me, email me, pull me aside on the street, ask me a question, ask me to make a phone call for them. I work for the people in my district and as well just Leon County in general. So I want people to know that I'm approachable, know that I'm just another citizen of Leon County that you can talk to. Transparency. I want everyone to be able to look at my decisions and know why I made those decisions. I want to be able to explain them to anyone that I run into, anyone that does call me or text me or email me. I want to be able to tell them why I'm making the decisions, be able to explain them to them in a way that everyone can understand, not just some complex report or study that I said, yeah, I like that study. Let's vote yes or no on this. And trust. We have a big trust issue in Leon County, not necessarily the county, but the city. And we need to make sure that we're keeping the trust in the county and not getting ourselves into a situation like what the city has done.
Oh, okay. Emily Fritz.
Okay. Well, as far as what I intend to accomplish. Most of the things I want to do are things that are not going to necessarily appear in bright lights. I just want to make Leon County a better place to live. And actually, I don't even care if when I leave, people give me credit. However, I do think people probably will remember me because I'm going to be very outspoken. And outspoken people have a tendency to be remembered. They will probably say I'm the person who had the guts to ask the questions, the guts to make changes. And yes, I will not always nod in agreement with everything. Now, with that said, I want to have a cordial relationship with my colleagues. I do want to get along with them. But I won't go agree just for the sake of agreement. We do have serious issues here. Yes, trust is one, and I am not part of the system that has betrayed the public trust recently. There is a higher level of distrust on the city side than the county side. But right now, people don't trust any local government, and I do think that needs to be resolved. I'd agree with transparency. We do need to take more things off of the county commission consent agenda and discuss them more. There is too much rubber stamping and too much nodding, and things happen, and people don't even realize what's happened. They say, oh, I didn't know they did that. So there does need to be more openness. Yes, crime is obviously an issue, and I've mentioned my concerns about the public safety complex, the dispatch center, that needs to be resolved. Also, as far as the length of time, I will say, I am the candidate who has the least risk of sticking around too long. And I will tell you why. I am retired. I have had my career. I enjoyed my 40-year career. I haven't forgotten what it was like to be in the shoes that these gentlemen are in, but I'm not looking for a long-term career. Again, I've had it. I'm not building my resume. What I want to do is get in there, serve one or two terms, and I will pledge no more than two terms. Make Leon County a better place and get back and enjoy my retirement.
There we go. We rack up here with Rick Miner.
Thanks, Tom. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you a policy idea as well as like an overall tone for the county commission. Regarding economic development and creating more high-paying, high-quality jobs in District 3 and in Leon County, I want to help accelerate one particular aspect of economic development. What's the one thing that Leon County has, economically speaking, that no one else in the country has? The Mag Lab. We've talked about it for years, but yet we don't have a concerted effort to go out there and recruit businesses and companies and investors that could benefit directly from the high-tech magnetic research that the Mag Lab is doing. Every one of our cell phones here around the table has got a magnet. MRIs, I mean, there's incredible opportunity with that industry. We need to hire someone that has the scientific know-how and the connections around the country, send them out, recruit companies to come to Tallahassee. We get just three or four of those companies that will benefit uniquely from the Mag Lab research. We start to have a high-tech industry cluster right here in Tallahassee. You know, that's how Silicon Valley started. You know, I mean, those types of things are what we need in Tallahassee. If I can be known for one thing that I'm during my time as a county commissioner, I want to be known as someone who did his part to make that happen. Now, with regard to the other more less tangible item, I want to do my part to make sure that our local government has its trust and credibility restored. Part of that comes down to openness. If you see me walking around neighborhoods or passing out my business card, you'll see that it's got my cell number printed on that business card. I'm going to keep that cell number after I get elected so people can reach out to me personally and tell me what's on their mind. Also, it means kind of tearing down some of the noise and vitriol that we see between the two different sides of politics in this town. I won't mention his name, but I had coffee with someone who's a pretty far conservative on the other side. We talked policy. We talked policy, and he asked me, he said, well, what are you going to do when I have an issue with something the county puts out? Would I disagree with the economic numbers? And I told him, I said, sit down with me. Tell me what the differences are, why you think it's wrong. I'll go back to the county and say, explain why this discrepancy exists. Why are your numbers right and his numbers wrong? Or the opposite. I want to start having those dialogues. The reason why there's so much vitriol in this town is because folks don't feel like they're being listened to. And I'm willing to listen to the folks on the other side of the aisle and start to have those real conversations in good faith to clear the air and try to make some progress in this town.
This has been a lovely conversation, an extended conversation here on Facebook, and we thank all of our Facebook friends who have joined us here on WFSU's Political Perspectives, and we thank the candidates, too, for hanging around a little bit longer to talk about what's vital importance to them and what they would bring to the table if they were elected to the Leon County Commission, District 3. So to Kyle Frost, Emily Fritz, Rick Miner, and Carlos Ray, thanks so much, guys. Good luck with the campaign, and we will see you around election time.